to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, top supply chain industry professionals and the nation's top thought leaders join host Brian Strait and share their unique insights to help supply chain managers stay one step ahead of their competition. This is Talking Supply Chain. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Talking Supply Chain. My name is Brian Strait, and I am Editor-in-Chief of Supply Chain Management Review and will be your host for today's episode. Back in 2015, Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum popularized the term the Fourth Industrial Revolution. But what is the Fourth Industrial Revolution? Well, according to Schwab, who looked at advancing technologies taking place, and he remarked on humanity and where humanity stood, and I quote, that humanity stood on the brink of a technological evolution that will fundamentally alter the way we live, work, and relate to one another. Like previous industrial revolutions, such as the transition from hand production methods to machines that ushered in the first industrial revolution, the technological revolution in the late 1800s that enabled the building of our extensive railroad and telegraph networks, and the more recent third industrial revolution that we know today as the digital revolution that occurred in the late 20th century, this fourth industrial revolution promises to change society immensely. This revolution is being powered by artificial intelligence and other technologies, and chances are that you're probably already are familiar with the impacts, and you're feeling the impacts today of AI in your lives, in your jobs, and even in your relationships that you may be having. Joining me today is Erhan Musa Aglu, and I apologize, Erhan, if I said that incorrectly. Erhan is the CEO and founder of Lojawa Technology?
Yes.
Okay. It's a supply chain software company that focuses on warehouses specifically. Welcome to our show today.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And I apologize. getting names correctly sometimes is an issue for me. But we'll move on and we'll do it. So.
It's very normal. Both names are very difficult to say, especially my last name. So you're good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, everybody's not named Jim. And it's probably a good thing that we're not all named Jim. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your company?
So, I am an industrial engineer with 20 years of ERP supply chain management software operations and development experience. And currently, I am the CEO and founder of Lojawa. As Lojawa, we solve high volume direct-to-consumer fulfillment problem. Which means actually we are helping, our software helps and allows fulfillment centers to ship high volume online orders. We are talking thousands, 10,000s, 100,000s of orders every day shipping from fulfillment centers. And especially with the pressure of tight delivery windows, thanks to Amazon, like as consumers, we just type a URL, enter a web marketplace or a website, order, and we expect it to be at our doorstep next day or same day. So this is what we do for fulfillment centers. We help them ship your order as soon as possible from the warehouse so that you take it same day or next day. Just to give you a quick flow, when you submit an order in a marketplace or website, our system or systems like us, we call it WMS or a fulfillment solution. We download all the orders and we process these orders. We make batches, groups from the orders to make pickers' life easier. And then we create jobs and picking tasks for the pickers in the warehouse or fulfillment center. So the pickers see these jobs or tasks in their mobile devices. They go pick your product and then they bring it to packing desk or packing station. In the packing station, they put it in a box and print a shipping label and ship it your way. And then next day or same day, you see your box at your doorstep. We manage all the process behind the scenes until that product arrives you. Make sense?
Yeah. And that process would not be able to meet, whether it's your company or any other company that does similar things, would not be able to meet the demands of today's consumer if it wasn't for technology, AI, machine learning, et cetera.
100%.
Yeah. So there is, we've heard a lot about AI in the business community in recent years. Supply chain seems particularly receptive for it. I think for the reasons you just demonstrated as to why it actually is beneficial to us. But one of the unique things about supply chains is that some of them are very siloed. right? And I wonder, you know, from your perspective, you know, supply chains that are siloed, can they get the same benefits that a more collaborative supply chain can get from AI? And can companies still benefit from that in that case?
I mean, they can get some benefit. But if you have a collaborative supply chain, which is very rare and almost a dream supply chain, then you can get most out of it. But before we dive into that discussion, let's just let's split the supply chain into multiple functions so that we can understand it better. Let's split supply chain into four different functions. One is from manufacturer to fulfillment center or distribution center. Mm-hmm. Makes sense? So we have to bring the goods from manufacturers to the distribution centers. And then let's name the second one is the fulfillment process within the fulfillment center or warehouse or distribution center. And then the third step is last mile delivery, which is a truck picks that box and delivers to you. This is the third process. And then the fourth one is all the supportive functions, such as insurance, safety, customer success, returns, like maybe 30 different functions. And when you put all these things together, supply chain is a real physical environment. It is the core of the commerce. And there are ton of exceptions and problems and conflicts happening every day in the supply chain.
Yeah.
And this is becoming a big, big problem for us. To solve these specific problems, each and every function, small function in a supply chain, has to use an expert system, which we call it expert system, a return management system, a customer, a CRM, a safety solution system, a warehouse management system. And you are right. The solutions have siloed data, and they just know their own data. So if you cannot combine or collaborate this data into a platform, then you will just solve a specific problem within your expert system, not the entire supply chain. And if I am shipping fast enough, but if the manufacturer cannot provide me like bulk shipments or trucks on time, then my WMS system can be the best and we can do our best, but we cannot ship the product because the process before us is not providing us what we needed. Makes sense? So yeah. That's why in order to implement a successful AI, we need this collaboration part. Makes sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I was going to say, you know, related to that, obviously, is that I've talked to some people who've talked, not talking about AI per se, but talking about the introduction of electric vehicles and technologies that are automated into the warehouse system and the impacts that's having down upstream and downstream, right? And I've talked to some people that have suggested, hey, you know, we thought putting in these automated, you know, packing systems, right? What technology you want into the warehouse was going to make things more efficient. And what we found was that trucks were just sitting waiting outside, you know, because they were not arriving at the time because the warehouse itself was much faster. Right, that the timing now of the whole supply chain all the way through to the final delivery was being thrown off by that. And I guess that's kind of my thought on the AI concept too, is that, and you mentioned the four different areas, you know, if we institute AI technologies in one area, right, you can't think about putting it in only that one area, don't you have to think about the impact it has throughout the whole supply chain, even if only the fulfillment process is using AI, is that correct?
That is correct, but I mean, there are other solutions and workarounds that we can use as well. Because, like, I will give you an example, but before that, let me, in a supply chain, there is usually a bottleneck. A bottleneck can be a warehouse or in a process in a warehouse. So even if you use AI just to solve that bottleneck, it will just increase your throughput and output. Make sense? Mm-hmm. So we can still implement AI a small piece of our warehouse or our supply chain, which is the bottleneck. But if you want to get full usage and benefit from AI, you are right. We have to connect and sync all the applications, all the data, all the process together. Just to provide a clear explanation to this, I always say a warehouse or a fulfillment center, if we think of a company as a human body, it is the heart. Pumps the blood, right?
Yeah.
And if the heart is not synchronized with other organs or etc., if it just pumps faster or slower, we are lightheaded, we are dizzy. None of the organs can really function very well. We are functioning, but we are functioning lightheaded and dizzy, not proper. So it is the same story. All the organs, all the expert systems, all the functions should be collaborating each other and syncing each other to get full benefit from a AI application.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean, to anybody listening, it doesn't mean that implementing AI in one portion isn't worthwhile and worth doing. It just means that if you want to get the maximum benefit, you need to think about the whole process.
Exactly. Otherwise, usually when we implement AI functions in the warehouse or our area, we check the bottleneck. Where is the bottleneck? Where stops prevents you ship more orders? And we focus that part and we fix that part. Then there is another bottleneck, and then you apply AI to the next bottleneck.
Yeah.
So this is also an approach which you can implement step by step.
Yep. Are there, getting to the usage of AI a little bit, you know, you guys obviously install a lot of systems, a lot of clients and customers. Is there any particular area that you're seeing a lot of success with AI today versus some other areas that maybe you're not, the success isn't quite there yet?
Yes. Actually, there are some patterns and ready-to-go algorithms which most of the companies can use easily and can get benefit right away. One of them is demand forecasting. Mm-hmm. It's not a rocket science anymore. You put your products, you put your orders, historical orders, and the system can give you demand forecasting. And you can use this demand forecasting everywhere. Workforce planning, space utilization, it helps a lot. Inventory optimization is another one, which is you decide which fulfillment center to put your inventory and how much. Or there are others as well, such as safety, quality control. AI applications are working very well, but there are some complicated ones as well which takes time to implement. One is workforce management, because in a fulfillment center or in a supply chain, it's a real life scenario, so there are hundreds of thousands of exceptions and scenarios, so you have to be careful when implementing, especially workforce management or last mile delivery optimization. These are more tricky than others. Also, one area that you can quickly implement AI is supply chain visibility. It gives you the result right away.
Is that, you mentioned those things, many of those things, you know, demand forecasting, inventory optimization, you know, those sound to me like back office kind of functions, right? I mean, those are manager level, you know, data analytics functions, if you will. Are you seeing AI implement actually onto the warehouse floor in any way that's making the workers themselves more productive on the floor?
Actually, we have 9 projects at the moment which we are implementing AI on the floor for employees. One of the challenges that we are seeing, especially in fulfillment centers, are temporary employees. Because of the seasonality, peak season, they are hiring employees for 3 months, 2 months, and also the turnover is very, very high especially in fulfillment centers and distribution centers. So we are bringing AI together to help these packers do their job. Yeah. For example, AI can tell a picker what is next. What are you going to do next? And how are you going to do that? Which location to go? Which orders to combine together? So they are using mobile devices, Android and iOS based. And yes, I mean, the AI algorithm is behind the scenes. It's back office. But it is giving directions to pickers and packers how to do their business, how to do their job and activities. Does this make sense? And there are a lot of others as well, such as quality control. When you receive products into your warehouse or distribution center, you have to check if the products are damaged or not. This is normally a person's job. A receiver checks the entire product boxes, etc., if they are like damaged or not. But with AI, you can do this in a second.
Yep, and that's implementing cameras and sensors.
So these are part of that, right? some of the applications that we use. AI applications that we use in the real life scenarios.
Yep. You mentioned going back to like demand forecasting and optimization, inventory optimization. That kind of data, this is the old story, right? I mean, you need good data to get good answers, right? If you have bad data, you have bad answers. So you know, when you implement AI, you got to be able to connect those systems to other systems as well, maybe your sales function, right? That maybe not part of your warehouse operations typically, right? I mean, they may be housed somewhere else, another server entirely. So what is that process like to connect to some of those other networks that you may need to get into in order to build those, that demand forecasting or the inventory optimization process part of it?
It is painful. It is. I have admitted it's painful. And like we have approximately 200 different integrations at the moment with different systems, to be honest. And it is really painful because every other week we have to develop another integration. And the reason is very simple. I just briefly explained four different areas of supply chain, and each area has 10 different applications. If you are running a supply chain, most probably you are using 40 or 50 different software or applications. Makes sense? Including dock scheduling, warehousing, demand forecasting. And let's say each 50 application, let's say there are 10 solutions that can do your business. So we are talking 500 different solutions in a or application in a supply chain. And it is really a painful process. And to be honest, we don't have a standard data structure or approach that we can share information. So each and every time we need to integrate with another system, we have to develop it or map it. But again, for some systems, it's easier. For example, we can push available inventory easily to sales or website or marketplace. So the customers or the consumers can see available inventory right away on the website. Or we can predict shortages. This also helps sales because if we predict shortage and also procurement as well, we can tell them, hey, you have to procure, you have to purchase X, Y, Z. So it's not easy, but we are somewhere. At least we have done as a company 200 integrations with different software, different companies at the moment to help our customers.
Yeah, and just knowing, you know, the marketplace, I mean, 200, that's probably only a small fraction of what's actually possible out there.
Oh, exactly. I'm telling you, every week we are adding another one.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a full-time job just thinking up the integrations, if you will, that are possible with so many different things.
It's a full-time job for 50 people. I guess I have 50 product and development people just doing the integration part. Like, just to explain how big the integration in this equation, I have 4 or 5 people, data scientists doing AI algorithms, etc. I have 50 technical people who are doing the integrations. Make sense? This is part of the equation.
I remember these technology integrations. I remember a number of years ago when the trucking industry and the federal government mandated electronic logging devices in the trucks. And I remember talking to one of the electronic logging device suppliers, and they said that, yeah, they went to this trucking company and they're like, oh, we want to use your system. Okay, great. And they found out they had to integrate with 4 different software technologies in order to do it. You know, and that was just in the one trucking company.
Exactly. You
know, and it was just, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of effort, obviously. And you know, but it, thankfully it's companies out there like you guys and others that are doing this to make sure that people can take advantage of this stuff. So, wanted to shift to a couple more broader questions on AI in general. You know, one, I guess, like I said at the beginning in my opening, AI is everywhere these days, but I know that there are still companies out there that are not using it in any way. They're not leveraging this. They're stuck with their paper and pencil and whatnot. Can these companies afford to wait at this point? Or is this something they need to get into at this point? If you know, otherwise, they're not going to be successful in a couple of years. I mean, I know it takes some time to implement this stuff and get started. So I'm wondering if companies have not adopted AI technologies in any way at this point, can they still afford to sit on the sidelines?
I agree, by the way. The future of logistics and supply chain is going to be robotics and automation and AI. I mean, the companies that are lacking automation, AI, and robotics, in the long term, they cannot survive. This is the new reality and trend, right? So, yeah, I mean, let's start from here. First of all, in order to implement AI, you need data. You need data collection. So you have to start process. Even though if you did not start process yet, start collecting data. Because without data, it's not AI. It's just assumptions that doesn't help you. So you need to start collecting data. And for especially for small companies, like large, big companies, they already started AI, like AI applications or implementations. For small companies, there are small expert, like subscription-based systems there, such as demand forecasting, as I said, is not rocket science anymore. Any small company, by paying a small subscription fee, can really do demand forecasting because the data is there. They have their historical sales inventory. Just upload it. But if you really want to do AI in a warehouse, it takes at least 6 months of data. You have to just start collecting the data. And this is the big part of the system. And this means budget and resource.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, before AI, just start collecting data. You have to put right data collection system in place, and then you move to AI, actually.
Yeah. So for those companies out there that haven't done this yet, you probably are heading up onto your budget seasons for your 2024 budget soon. Make sure you put money in it to do this and get started on this process. You don't want to be left behind. One to get to, this is an area that exists with technology in general and all sorts of other things, not just technology, but and that is gaps that companies have. Some companies may be using AI, but they're not feeling like they're getting the benefit that they should be getting out of it at this point. And in some cases, it may be because they're using only one function, as we mentioned earlier, you know, to get the most benefit, you need to kind of go across the whole supply chain with it. Can you give some advice or some steps maybe as to the company that doesn't think it's getting what it should out of AI at this point? How do they go about assessing that if they're getting what they should? Are they getting the most benefits, or how do they assess what benefits they may be missing and how do they get to that point? Are there any things that you can suggest that they do? How do they look at that process?
It's a tough question, actually. So what we do is usually we call it an impact score, like impact. So any process, like they can do the same thing as well. Any process that we implement AI or a functional improvement, we just break down process into smaller pieces and calculate an impact score. So how much time it takes or how many orders I can ship from this process. And then we do the same after implementing AI and we look at the impact score. If there is no impact score, you are not getting benefit from AI. The other thing that we check is AI should be solving a real problem, which you spend time yourself. Means that demand forecasting, if AI is not helping you, then you're going to do demand forecasting yourself. So if you implement AI and if you still continue fixing it manually or adjusting the results, then you are not getting the benefit because your AI is not trained enough and did not learn enough to help you with your business, because you shouldn't be fixing manually AI results in most of the cases. By the way, if you look at 90-95% of AI applications, you have to adjust them at some point. But it's an improvement process. As I said, by time, AI with deep learning, AI is going to learn and will implement all the new learnings. This is the entire idea of AI. But in normal life, you shouldn't be fixing or adjusting AI results frequently. Make sense?
So I guess a follow-up question for me on that is simply then, you know, we all want to make the right decisions, right? And managers, your CEO wants to make the right decision. How do they come to trust AI?
Pilot. Very easy. Pilot. So send your like 1 week data to, for example, demand forecasting or who is going to help you with AI, and check the results. If the results are improving, showing, it's very easy, by the way, in most of the AI applications, not all of them, but most of them, let's say 50%, 60% of them, you can just ask for a pilot. For example, if you are a safety company for forklifts or trucks, you can do a pilot with one forklift and you see it. Make sense?
Yeah.
This is the only way, to be honest. Otherwise, there are hundreds of companies that can say, hey, I'll do this. But how do you know it?
I was at a conference earlier this year, and a guy stood up and he said, you know, the system was right. When we look back on it, it was right. But what it started kicking out to us were answers to questions that we didn't think those were the answers. You know, we didn't believe it, basically. He says, so then we went, and he says, and they did, I think, probably the right thing. And kind of what you're saying is that they went and then looked further into their initial assumptions, right? And they determined that, yes, we were wrong the whole time because we weren't looking at it in the correct way. You know, but I think there's probably a lot of companies out there who will say, well, this is not what I assume it's going to tell me, and it's telling me something different. So therefore, the AI can't be right.
Again, I am an engineer, and I look to output and the result. Yeah. And proof of concept, like,
yeah,
for me numbers never lie, so I will always rely on the numbers, and I recommend anyone looking for AI or any process improvement, ask for a pilot or ask for your results numbers.
Yep. And then start with good data. Again, it goes back to everything.
The data is 100%. Yeah. That should be good data. Otherwise, no one can solve the problem.
And I think that was the point that he was trying to make, is that the data we had was not, we were not using it correctly. We weren't had the right data, kind of thing. So I only got a couple minutes left. I just wanted a final question, I think, for you. And that is just simply for the companies that want to get started in AI, can you give some advice as to how to get started? You touched on this a little bit, but you know, what should they be doing if they're listening to this and they get done listening to this today and say, hey, I'm going to dive into this now. How do they get started?
So there is no dream AI can solve everything in your warehouse or in your system. But as I said, I am an engineer. So I look at the bottleneck approach, which is, hey, where is the bottleneck? Where is my biggest problem in my warehouse? Like, biggest problem that is taking my time, consuming my time, or preventing me to ship more orders from a warehouse. What is the biggest bottleneck and problem? And go check possible AI solutions that really can solve that bottleneck, and then make a pilot with them. Yeah. Because the vendors that you are going to see in that area, most probably they will come with expertise, and they have done this before, so they can help you to solve your bottleneck. And once you solve your first bottleneck, then there is a second one. And the second bottleneck, then you can focus second one. I really suggest step-by-step AI implementation, honestly.
Yeah. So solve one problem, then deal with the next one and the next one. And honestly, people I've talked to, it gets so much easier the more you do it. Right. I mean, the first time it's scary, and, you know, and we make the right decision. And once you do it and you see the results, then you say, hey, you know, this is pretty good. And doing the second, third and fourth time, it's much easier to do, much easier to get buy-in from your leadership as well. Once you have a successful pilot that shows them the benefits there. So, unfortunately, it's all the time we have for today. I want to thank you, Ehan, for joining me today, and special thank you to everybody out there in the audience today that took the time to listen to us. We appreciate it. Hope you learned a lot. Until next time, this is Brian Strait, and you've been listening to Talking Supply Chain.